Happy Father's Day. It's the day that is celebrated a day late because we put this out on Monday. We're recording on Father's Day. It's a big day. It's America's answer to Mother's Day, which actually has some merit. It's Father's Day is a secondhand holiday. I don't like that about it. I feel like it comes in second place.
Well, as it should.
Well, Mother's Day, like Mother's Day has roots in something that really happened. It was a protest. It was moms. They didn't want their kids to go off and get killed in World War I. It was important. And Father's Day is kind of like here's yours too. Here you go. You happy, Dad? You happy? I'm not going to turn it down. I'm not going to turn it down at all.
Right.
It is Father's Day as we record this. Right now, I got to think about what I want to eat. That's the big thing. Like, what do I want to eat?
Are you being cooked for, or are you being taken out, or?
I think it's up to me. I think it's my choice. My choice.
And here's the deal. I thought you did a lot of the cooking.
I do. So it'll be nice. It'll be nice, but I gotta get really hungry. That's the secret. Don't ever forget that, America. The secret to a great meal is being really hungry. So,
starve yourself till you're served.
Yes. Okay. So here's some of the stuff that we want to talk about today on this episode of the Loftus Party Podcast. Before I forget, I want to say welcome to our new Patreons. Got a couple new Patreons. Boom! Nice. It's happening. Yeah, I want to up the game on the YouTube videos. I want to up the game on the Facebook videos. And it's, unfortunately, all that stuff costs money. And then I start divvying it up way too fast. I'm like, ooh, I could do this, and then I could do that, and then I could buy ads on here, and then that'll do this, and then I just got to slow my roll. So slow and steady wins the race. That's been the case so far. Do you want to hear something crazy?
Sure.
Our Facebook reach last week was 500,000 people. Now,
nicely
I know that,
done.
Right? That's just people scrolling by and seeing stuff. But those are, to me, that's a huge number. That's a huge number. And I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay. So
eyeballs is eyeballs.
That is true. Eyeballs is eyeballs. That's what they say. That's what they say at the cloning clinic as well. I don't know why.
Okay.
So I had a little trip to New York. I thought that would be fun to talk about. I was very surprised. Fox and Friends gave me the invite to come out to New York, and it was a delightful trip. It was too short, but it was delightful. But I thought I'd give the listeners a little behind the scenes look at my Fox and Friend trip.
Is that the first time you've been in studio in New York?
No.
Okay, second.
Yeah.
Because you normally go to that little closet in L.A.
Indeed, but now I know about the secret room beneath the closet where Steve Hilton does his show. Steve Hilton has the show, The Next Revolution or whatever, and they have a wonderful space beneath the little Liberty Studio there in Santa Monica.
Nice.
So. We'll talk about that for a little bit. I also want to talk about the upcoming Orlando and Tampa stops that are right around the corner, July 10 and 11th for the MAGA country comedy. The 24 Democrats running for president. The latest Fox News poll, this just came out today, and it's a Fox News poll, so I think that's worth talking about. And then I have a little note. I want to talk about my ice maker.
Okay. I just had some breaking news.
What do you got? Let's start with that.
I can't stand Jim Acosta. Like, he's got to be the most arrogant person in the world. And so I went to Amazon Books to look where his book is.
Yeah.
It's not even in the top 100 in the week of release. You know whose book is number two?
Who?
Mark Levin.
That gives me a lot of hope. That gives
you know
me
who's
a lot
still
of hope.
On the list a year and a half later?
Who?
Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules for Life. You
that
know
gives
who's
me
not on the list? Jim Acosta.
This is funny. This is great because the Jordan Peterson of it all and the Mark Levin of it all and all this other stuff. But just as a little sidebar, because this goes right into the show. So I saw a little excerpt from Acosta's book the other day.
He was tweeting out excerpts from his book. Like, geez, nobody's buying it. I'll just tweet the whole thing. I was like, what are you doing?
He talks about the little excerpt I read. He talks about being on a bus or being on Air Force One or something and running into Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. And they both gave him the high hat and they didn't speak to him. And Acosta's like, boy, they talk a lot behind my back, but they don't have the courage to say it to my face. Right. So Jim Acosta is calling out Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity for not talking smack to his face. All right. Having met Tucker, I would pick in a street fight, Tucker Carlson beats the snot out of Jim Acosta. Even wearing the bow tie on, he beats the snot out of Jim Acosta. I don't think Tucker Carlson is a
bow tie. I kind of miss it.
He should bring it back for special shows. He really should. He should do like a special bow tie show.
I remember hearing him in an interview and somebody thought it was like, contrived sort of. And he's like, I'd worn these my entire life. And somebody thought it was like shtick. So I just stopped wearing them because like, yuck.
Yeah. So. Okay. So a couple days ago, it's very early in the morning, Manhattan, rainy day in the city. I'm in the green room with Fox and Friends, and now it's nice because, the receptionist kind of remembers me, the producers know me, and they're like, oh, hey, how, people being super friendly. Everyone's excited because Sean Hannity's going to be coming in. Sean Hannity, I guess he has a studio in his home. He can do remotes from there, blah, blah, blah. But he's coming in. They're like, oh, he's going to be on set. He's going to be on. So Hannity comes in, and I meet this guy, and let me tell you, something about Hannity. That dude is the real deal. Like, the camera adds 10 pounds. Hannity is fit. That dude is thick. I shook his hand, and like when he talks about doing the mixed martial arts training and the boxing and the fit, I'm not kidding you. If it's Armageddon, zombies rule the world, and you've got to pick one person from Fox News to be on your survivalist team, pick Hannity.
That's the guy?
Yup. You look at him on TV and you think, oh, he talks a lot of smack. He might be a little pudgy. I think he's probably carrying around a few extra. You meet him in real life and you're like, oh, man. Like, seriously, in a street brawl, Hannity. I'm not kidding you. I was shocked and impressed. People talk a lot of smack. I'm never going to talk any smack about Hannity ever. He's a high energy, he's a lean, mean fighting machine. So Jim Acosta should be very careful. He should be very careful because Tucker can take him, and I guarantee Hannity can take him. Oh, man. I was very impressed by that. It was very fun. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad Acosta's book is failing. And it makes me happy that Mark Levin's is doing well. And it makes me happy that Jordan Peterson's is still going well. Jordan Peterson, let's talk about him for a second. Because I really find he has a way of saying things that obviously it's much better than your average person, like myself. But it's like there's nuggets of truth there, and you think about it, but it like resonates. It resonates, and I'm so happy that his book is still doing well. Isn't he starting his own social media platform?
Yes, I am actually signed up for the beta for ThinkSpot.
Now, what's the inside scoop on that? Because literally, I have no idea.
Not really sure. I think he's been working on it for a while. He got really motivated, I guess is the best word for it.
Yeah.
When Patreon pulled their nonsense. He yanked himself off the platform. Dave Rubin went off the platform. And I think this is something him and Rubin are kind of working on. together. You know, all of it is just so ridiculous in my mind. There are very simple things that Twitter or Facebook could do to improve their platforms and still, like, allow people to speak. This is not rocket science. Another really nice platform that I've been playing around with is Clout Hub.
Okay.
They've got a, from my understanding, and I'm supposed to talk to the gentleman who started it this coming week, but within several months, they're literally looking to replace YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, news aggregators. I mean, they've got some big ideas, and these are some right-leaning veterans from the tech industry.
So, hold up one second. So what is ThinkSpot going to be? Is it going to be like a YouTube type service? It's going to be a video service. It's going to be what, like Facebook? What?
I'm not exactly sure. It's going to be some kind of social media discussion platform. I haven't been let into the beta yet. So as soon as I get in, I'll let you know.
That's fantastic.
I'm on the waiting list.
Well, it's a great name. I'm very, very jealous of the name. ThinkSpot. Well, you'd think somebody would have taken that one, but it gives me hope that there's still great names out there that you can grab.
I do, but I really do like Clout Hub. Parler's starting to get infused with a whole lot of foreign language accounts, apparently from Saudi Arabia, so it's getting a little weird over there.
Well, Parler, you know what? And this is just like just a little. I don't like it when you finish posting something on Parler, and instead of hitting post or send, it says submit. I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like having to hit submit. I don't submit. I really don't.
Yeah,
really don't.
I don't know why they picked that word, but I mean, it's not like you have to submit it and they're going to review it or something. At least that's not my experience on the platform at this point.
Yeah.
Submit, you think somebody's going to like be checking out, like, if it's okay to post. Yeah.
And I don't want to submit my to anybody else's will. I don't want to be submissive. It's just that word. It's like a bad choice of word. I don't like followers either. I don't like that. I don't like talking about, ooh, here's how many followers I have. You know, it's like, I don't know a better choice of word, you know, for Twitter, but it's like, here's how many people are slightly interested. Here's how many people will put up with my BS.
Right.
So anyway, it's I wish them all well, and I'm very interested to see what happens with ThinkSpot. And here's the good news: when you have a free speech advocate in charge of the platform, you're in a much better spot. And this mm-hmm. is what brings me back to my personal politics. If I get exactly what I want politically, if I get my perfect world politically, it doesn't affect everyone else is fine. Everyone else is fine. Everyone has freedom and liberty and everything goes great. Now, if the left gets what they want, my world goes to hell in a handbasket. That's what I don't like about it. And that's what has my panties in a twist constantly. Whenever I think about it, I did a video. Go ahead.
I've got an article going up tomorrow. When this podcast released
at theloftistparty.com.
No, this one's very long form and wonky. So it's
long form and wonky.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on the Resurgent. But it's
long form and wonky was actually a hit TV show back in the 70s.
But this is show. Talking about what Joe Biden actually proposed when he was vice president after doing a what do you call it, committee, leading at some kind of study committee regarding the middle class. And it basically has to do with nationalizing your 401k. Gen X, wake up. You are more likely to live in a multi-generational home and be the head person in it than your great grandmother was, and now you're going to vote for somebody who once proposed nationalizing your 401k. Yeah, not a good idea.
Biden said something the other day. He's a constant font of idiocy, that guy. He had a tweet out the other day. He's like, the middle class built this country. The middle class built this country. And you're like, no, dude. No, not even remotely. Not even remotely. The industrial revolution came about because some super rich people did some stuff and opened up factories, and they created the middle class. Mm-hmm. You could say that. Super rich people, visionaries, created the middle class, but the middle class didn't, like, it wasn't like, I just hate that. It just drives me crazy. Well,
and then he's talking about, the first thing I'm going to do is roll back these tax cuts that benefited the super wealthy. That's just a lie. Two congressmen, one senator and one member of the House from New Jersey, have actually put in a bill. New Jersey, blue, right?
Yeah.
Have put in a bill to repeal the cap on the SALT deductions because all the wealthy people are leaving because their taxes went up.
That's one of the great things that, and I remember we talked about it on this show, when the tax code changed, people in Jersey, people in New York, people in California were going to get a real good look at what their state taxes were like. They were going to get a real good look at how bad their states were screwing them. And as a resident of California, as someone who's just really getting hammered right now, it's very eye-opening. It's very it's a horrible experience. I would love to ditch this place. I would love to ditch it. But
do it.
Oh my goodness. I'd love to. But
they're building houses right on my street.
Oh, Lord in heaven. We get this Loftus party thing where it needs to be. And there's so much going on, you guys, that I can't discuss right now, that I cannot discuss right now. Because, one, I don't want to jinx it. Two, I've been hurt too many times before. And three, it'll all be wonderful surprises. However, it's, unfortunately, Hollywood is where it's at. Los Angeles is where it's at. I think if I could,
but Atlanta has huge production capabilities, and now Hollywood doesn't want to use them. Come down here and use some of those.
I know, but unfortunately, what happens is Atlanta is like a studio. What's his guy? Tyler Perry. He's got it worked out. You know, he's got his offices there. That's his home base. However, I'm always going to have to go to Los Angeles or New York. That's just it. I can make a real good case for New York. I could make a real good case for moving to New York just because of the...
It doesn't get you out of the frying pan, friend.
I know. That's the problem. It is. However, it's just so... It's so nice to be able to go into those Fox News studios and just record live. It's just fun. It's just so much fun. They had a live audience. That was a blast. And I cannot say enough good things about the people over there. Like Kilmeade is just a champ. That guy's an absolute champ. And so is Pete Hegseth. And Ed Henry. That guy's hilarious. That dude's hilarious. I'm hanging out with Ed Henry in the green room, and we're just cracking up, just having an absolute blast. Tom Shalhoub comes in. Shalhoub's a funny guy. It's a good vibe over there. It's a really good vibe over at Fox News. So New York would be a thing, but, like, you know, there you go. You would be right back into the same horrible tax bracket, yada yada. Maybe Connecticut. Maybe I could do that. Maybe I become one of those.
They were the ones that had the failed wealth tax.
Oh my goodness. Oh, Joe Biden. This was funny. I did this video. I did a rundown on all the Democrats running for president, and Joe Biden, did you see this? He says that if he's elected, he'll cure cancer.
Yeah, I saw that.
then I'm thinking, like, so what happens when you lose? You're like, okay, forget it. I'm not going to cure it. It's not like he has the cure for cancer. And he's like, if you elect me, I will reveal it. But if you don't, well, you know what? Say goodbye to grandma. I guess.
And Israel's got all the leading cancer research at this point, so just stop.
I got two He's words ridiculous. For you, Joe Biden. Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter. That dude, a couple years ago, 90-something years old, brain mm-hmm. cancer, brain cancer. He goes to Israel, bing, bang, boom, comes back a couple months later. Hey, look, I'm swinging a hammer, Habitats for Humanity. I want to mm-hmm. know more about that. I want to know about that. Okay, so we're going to get into the people running for president and all that wonderful stuff. And just here was, because there's a new Fox News poll right before we started recording. And the only reason I mentioned it at all, because it's a Fox News poll, they got Bernie Sanders leading Trump by 9 points. They got four other Democrats leading Trump.
Now, they oversampled California.
You think so? I mean, it seems like
if you
but
read
it's a Fox News poll. That's the weird thing about it.
Yeah, but they contract. They don't generally do their own. They'll contract with one of the polling firms to do it, so they'll pay for it. But it's actually done by a polling house. But I mean, the other thing you have to remember is largely right. These are people who are registered for a party most of the time. They're getting these lists from somewhere. And because I don't register for a party, I never get polled.
Yeah.
So there's huge segments, I think, of the population. I was never polled once in 2016, not once in 2018, and I've gotten nothing so far this year.
I've only been polled in local stuff.
The other interesting thing, because at this point, if they did call me, I'd lie to them. I'm not going to tell them anything. I'm not going on some freaking list. Call me paranoid, but literally, Facebook is now monitoring you for what you do off the platform.
I saw that.
Okay.
I kind of scanned over it. How do they know?
Maybe because you post a video, maybe because they monitor the news. I have no idea how, but literally all I do on Facebook anymore, except for my personal page, is like people's baby pictures and talk to my friends and pictures of my nieces and nephews. I'm just not doing it anymore.
Well, they have that thing where they're, because if you interact with one post, then that's what they keep showing you more of.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at my feed, when I get on my phone, I look at my feed, it's crazy. It's just just politics, 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 politics. That's why I'll always post other stuff at the Loftus Party
mm-hmm.
Facebook page and try to interact with other stuff just to throw off their little AI. And because I'm interested in other stuff. Good Lord, it's all politics. What are you doing?
But I did a little poll on Twitter, and I know Twitter polls aren't scientific, but this is just a simple question. It wasn't a poll that needed to be flipped or anything else, you know? I said, so guys, in the current mm-hmm. environment, are you if you get called by a pollster, are you going to tell them what you're actually going to do?
Yeah.
Nearly 50-50 split. 50% said they'd lie or hang up, and the other 50% said they'd tell the truth.
Well, don't you think that has something to do with the amount of negative? I was talking about this. I was a guest on this guy's podcast, The New Right, something like The New Right, I think it was called. But it's the amount of negative coverage of this president and the demonization of anyone who agrees with him on any level uh-huh. is at such ridiculous notions. It's hard to fathom. They've got people getting, literally, you get beat up if you wear a MAGA hat. They've demonized the president. They've demonized the followers. I don't know if anybody's going to ever be honest again. It's crazy. It's crazy. You feel, you're worried about admitting it over a telephone conversation with a stranger.
Because why would I?
Yeah.
In the current environment, literally, why would I? It's not paranoia if they're actually doing it, and we know Facebook is doing it. We know Google is doing it. So, yeah, I don't feel like I'm crazy to say I would either, I'm undecided or hang up. I literally.
Well, this is also, you know, one of the reasons that I'm doing these comedy shows, these stand-up shows. Like, mm-hmm. I really feel like it's a noble endeavor to, like, listen, stand up, be counted. Like, someone has to be, like, a beacon. And it's so funny to watch, like, some of these comedy clubs you go to, like in Huntsville, Alabama. In Huntsville, mm-hmm. Alabama, they're like, so a couple of the servers come back. You know, they have a nice green room. They come back. Hey, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be taking care of you. And these servers are nervous. And the management is nervous. They're like, so what kind of crowd are you guys getting? And you're like, we're literally getting the best audiences in America. These are some of the finest people. They're not going to trash the place. There's not going to be a riot. They're not going to skip out on their check. They're going to be right. wearing red, white, and blue. They love the country. They're going to be extremely polite. They're not going to use foul language. It's like they're the best. They're the best of the best of America. And everybody, because there's such a negative connotation with Trump, with the right, with the conservative movement. People, listen, that's Huntsville, Alabama.
No, I know.
Where they're worried, where they're concerned. What's going to happen? Is there going to be hey, you guys going to. Like you never hear about like roving bands of Trump supporters flipping over cars and setting things on fire.
No.
The Tea Party. That's who the Tea Party, who politely clean up after themselves, who right. never leave mountains of garbage on the streets of D.C. after they have a protest march. Good Lord in heaven. But that's how bad it is, you guys. It's bad out there. We're doing what we can. We're doing
and
what
if
we
you're
can.
In Huntsville, Alabama. I mean, that's about as red as you're going to get. Trump won there by how many percentage points?
Well, in Huntsville or in the greater Alabama?
In the greater Alabama area.
Yeah, they say that Huntsville's a weird city. Like it's,
well,
and it's
Huntsville it's, has more PhDs per capita than any other city in the world.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of lefties there working for the you
government.
Know, the government, the space people, and all mm-hmm. that other stuff. But that's how bad we're being demonized. That's how bad it is, and more people need to stand up and do stuff. People like Jordan Peterson and ThinkSpot, good for them. I don't believe the polls, even the Fox News polls. It's hard to go back. It's hard to go back and believe any of this when you look at the Clinton polls from 2016. She is a 99.9% lock to be the next president of the United States. How yep. can you be? Yeah, I'm.
Did you see the video that Trump tweeted?
No, no.
Oh, my God. Go to his timeline and somebody created a video for him. It combines the Simpson episode where he comes down the escalator to run for president with his actual a clip from his actual speech. And then everybody saying he'll never be president. And then, like, the best shots from election night where Chank just loses it. It's awesome.
That is the video that we play before the show opens. When we're in the club. Yeah, the lights go down, and then that video comes up and play. And it's just the greatest hits. It goes from when Trump announced to everybody going, he will never, he will never, he will never. And then one of my favorite moments ever is when they have the clip of Ann Coulter on Bill Maher's show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and he goes, so who's going to be the president? She goes, out of the candidates who are running right now, Donald Trump. And the audience just explodes in a mocking laughter. And Ann gives this little look, and it's weird as a writer, as a filmmaker, she gives this little look, and this is what I don't know. You can tell her feelings are hurt. You can tell, and her eyes move to the side, but she stands her ground. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that I like about Ann Coulter. For all her braggadocio, for all she talks a good game, but I tell you what, everybody's going through somebody. Everybody's got a little kid inside of them. You could tell. But God bless her. She stood her ground. I love that's my favorite moment. That's my favorite moment. It's incredibly brave and it's wonderful. And it's one of the reasons I like Ann Coulter so much. I wish she would get along better with the president. I wish she would. I wish they could get their act together. She's so mad.
She's a one-issue voter.
She thinks it's the...
He did not do what he said he was going to do, and she's mad.
I tell you, there's a reason that wall resonated. She has a righteous anger with him. That the wall, and I almost did a video. Maybe I will. I'll do a follow up on this. Here's a little fun to know, not a fun to know fact, but the African illegal immigrants, people coming from Africa now.
Yep,
over 500. Over 500. So they're coming from other countries. You guys, this is not. We have a legitimate crisis. Here's a horrible statistic. I was going to do a video on this, but it's just too depressing. And I'm like, I can't even joke about this. You got 130 people dying every day overdosing on opioids. Mm-hmm. 130 people dying. That's 72,000 Americans a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's beyond staggering. You know how many people gun violence? 1,300. 1,300. And then they stopped the planet for that. For that, like, oh, we got to do something. Well, good Lord, they're stacking up dead Americans from opioid overdoses like firewood.
And all the fentanyl and all the morphine comes from the southern border.
That's a staggering number. Yeah. And to have, it's really criminal that the Democrats have no plan whatsoever.
Their reason for it is actually 100% apparent now.
It's not even about new voters.
No. Look at what they are doing about the census question. It has been forecasted that if we know who the actual legal voters are and who is not legal to vote, in some of these deep blue districts, they're going to lose about 9 of them. So
well,
what they're actually doing with this catch and release, right, is shoving these people into blue districts to keep them blue, because those people will be counted in the census and they might actually pick up seats.
Yeah, it's all about voting. It's all about voting.
But it destroys the one man, one vote for everything but president. So if you have two districts with 1 million people in them, and in District 1, 800,000 are illegal immigrants, and you have 200,000 legal voters, right? And in the other one, you have 1 million U.S. citizens, 200,000 people get to decide for that district, where 1 million people decide for the other one.
Well, this is... Ann Coulter's big point. And this is what she told me years ago and why she's so about ending illegal immigration and the wall and all that other stuff. There will be no way that the conservative movement can win. Obama said it years ago too. Whoever gets the most votes gets to do what they want. That's really what it all boils down to. But
in this case, they're not even really getting the most votes.
Well, in a way, they are.
It throws off our voter participation statistics and everything else.
Yeah.
For all we know, we're capturing 80% of the people who can actually vote.
Right. But they're just flooding the zone. They're just flooding the zone. And they have no interest in turning that off. They have none, and they do not care. And when you talk about... 72,000 people a year dying? They care more about political power than they do about the average American. And exactly. It's really gross. It's really gross, it's and it's really disgusting. And I wish there was some comedy in there somewhere, but there's not. And it's evil. It's pure evil. And not pure evil. It's diluted evil. It's 98% evil.
No, it's pure evil.
But it's really not a good look. And I can't believe people aren't yelling it from the mountaintops. Why aren't people screaming this from the mountaintop? Because it's not hyperbole that they literally don't care about the American citizen. They would rather win elections and get their way. And that would be one thing if it was some new system that they had invented. Like if the liberals and the Democrats and the progressives had some new idea of like, oh, here's how we're going to run things. Here's how we're going to do it. You've never heard of this before. It's completely untested, but we think it's going to work. That's not the case. They're basing
terrible ideas.
And it's just staggering. They're basing all this off socialism and communism.
Bernie Sanders said, I am going to continue what FDR started. Most reasonable economists estimate that FDR and his stupid policies extended the Great Depression by about 6 years.
Yes.
So let's do that, Bernie. Let's do that. Are you insane? Americans will enjoy paying higher taxes. What?
It's a staggering level of stupidity. It's a staggering, and we can sit back and we can mock and we can make fun, and God bless us for doing it. But then you see these other results where they're like, hey, the majority of women in America are okay with socialism. They're digging it.
Yeah,
and that's where it comes
garbage.
Down to. But it's the culture. That's where this is a great way
I
to.
Know,
this is how I get here. It's the culture.
I got to go back and look at who did that poll too, because these Data for Progress people are putting out some ridiculous statistics. Their polls don't have cross tabs. You can't see the questions. They're just lying.
I hope so. I really hope so.
I'm a grown woman, and I know a lot of women. I don't know a lot of women that love socialism. Again, if you sample in Manhattan, maybe you got 51%.
But don't you think this goes to like human nature? And I'm not even kidding here. This is more of a philosophical notion that like I like the idea. I'm not even kidding you. I'm being honest. I like the idea of some kind of safety net. Like if my life goes completely off the rails, there's some kind of net that will catch me before I hit rock bottom and go, okay, we're gonna stop your descent here.
And we have that.
Give you a couple bucks and try to get you back on your feet, right? I like that idea, and I think most Americans do. And however, if you look at that, and if you look at Social Security, it's a scam. It is a scam.
Oh yeah, it's starting to run out of money now. We're never gonna collect it, and I say that, and you get really upset, but I'm just telling you. It ain't gonna happen.
Well,
you got Joe Biden running, who actually talked about nationalizing pensions and 401ks. So, yeah,
it just bears
like,
repeating.
These people just need like if you are a member of Generation X, if you were born between 1965 and 1980, and you are even thinking about voting for a Democrat, you need a lobotomy. I'm serious.
I love it though. I love it when you just
we literally.
Good. I'm celebrating your brutal honesty. It's great.
We literally already manage as many multi-generational households, meaning your parents, your kids, maybe even your kids' kids, right?
Yeah.
Than our great grandmothers did.
It is. It's worth repeating for our listeners. And you probably heard me say this before, that when Franklin Roosevelt, when he started Social Security and he had, you know, big business and everybody over a barrel because of the times and all that stuff, Social Security kicks in when you're 65 because most people were dead by age 60.
Right.
and when people start collecting it, if you were lucky enough to win that lottery and make it to age 65 back in 1938 or whatever, I think there was like 12 people paying in for every one person that was collecting. It was a big number.
Yeah.
And now I think it's down to like 2-1. It's 2-1.
And it's going to get even lower because you have these geniuses going on baby strikes and oh God.
It's, uh, It's a worrisome notion.
I'm not going to have a baby because of climate change. Good, good. We're breeding out stupidity. Please don't. Please don't have a baby. Man.
That whole thing. Oh, new news in from NASA and the scientists that the net gains in the Arctic Sea and the Arctic ice were huge. Were huge. Mm-hmm. The gains in the ice shelf were much, much bigger than anything we lost. So relax, everybody. It's all going to be okay. I want to spend a couple moments. Oh, I want to remind everybody this. Go to firearmguards.com. Go to firearmguards.com. You want to keep your gun lockers rid of humidity. You want to keep it dry. You want to keep your ammo dry. You definitely want to go to firearmguards.com and pick up a little amazing. It just takes the moisture out of everything. You're going to want that in your truck. You're going to want that in your gym bag. You're going to want that in your closet. Mine's coming. I got the email. Mine is on the way. I cannot wait to start using that thing. Then I'll really be going off about firearmguards.com. But you got to use the code word MAGA, M-A-G-A. Use the code word MAGA. You're going to save a little money. That's what we're doing. Okay, so I did a video about the 24 Democrats running for president and how they had no new ideas. They have like no new ideas. But there's some people I wanted to ask you about, hoping that you knew something about them, because I didn't. And because there's 24 of them, I got bored, frankly. I didn't even want to look them up. But like, who the hell's John Delaney? There's somebody running for president named John Delaney.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's great. So John Delaney, Jay Inslee. I've heard that name before.
He was a governor.
He was a governor somewhere?
Mm-hmm, governor of a state out west, I think.
All right. Have you ever heard of Wayne Messam?
Who?
Wayne Messam.
No.
Running for president.
Messam, like M-E-S-S-U-M?
M-E-S-S-A-M. Messam. And I already
He's an American businessman and serving as the mayor of Miramar, Florida.
He's running for president.
He's who was not... the first guy you said?
Who was the first guy? John Delaney.
No, not John Delaney. Before him.
Before John Delaney? I thought Delaney was the first. We got Jay Inslee. We got John Delaney.
Oh, maybe John Delaney.
Yeah.
Right. I'm looking.
You're looking.
He might have been a governor, too.
There's governors. There's mayors. There's Andrew Yang, Stephen Yang. There's a Yang
he
in
was
there. He's an entrepreneur.
An American politician and business. Oh, he's from Maryland, and he's in the House of Representatives. Or he was until 2019.
I just think it's hilarious. I can't wait till the debate.
You gotta
start.
Look at it this way: a freaking mayor of South Bend, Indiana, which is a shithole country, okay, is like fourth in the polls.
I tell
like,
you,
South Bend, Indiana, is a shithole.
My thing about Buttigieg and South Bend, it's like running a country is a little bit bigger than running
well,
South Bend, Indiana.
He knows he will never win an election for Senate in Indiana. Indiana's a pretty red state, even though it's next door to Illinois. That's where all the smart people from Illinois move.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he's never going to run and win for the Senate. He's never going to be governor. At least not in the foreseeable future.
He could be now. He could now. I mean, listen.
He's going to have the name recognition.
Yeah. But
if I'm not mistaken, I think Indiana's a Republican trifecta in state government. We have an assembly, a Senate, and a governor that are all Republican.
Boy, they keep going after Mike Pence like he is like just Dr. Evil. It's just...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to run in 2024.
Oh, you don't think Pence will run for president in 2024?
I don't think so. I mean, they tried to recruit him to run a couple, like, in 12, maybe, when Romney ran. They tried to get him in the primary, and he had no interest. I was actually surprised when he agreed to be vice president.
Well,
I just don't I don't think he'll let his family get savaged like that. I mean, look what they did to his wife for going to teach at a Christian school.
The press, the media is so out of control. And now that you have social media jumping on the bandwagon, it's very concerning. It's very mm-hmm. concerning. And people need to remember, you know, to put everything in its context. And I love to do this because it really helps me. Like when people say the Beatles are the best band and be like, oh, I don't like the Beatles, so you disagree. But if you put it in context and for the time, it makes a big difference. Put Fox News in the context. Back in the 80s when they were just making Ronald Reagan out to be the biggest supervillain on the planet. He's Hitler. He's worse than Hitler. And then they literally come out with propaganda because, Reagan's going to get us into a nuclear war. And then, NBC does that. It was like the day after, when it was like life in America after a nuclear, apocalypse. There was no Fox News. Fox News wasn't born out of a bunch of corporate people going, here's how we can influence people. America knew we were getting lied to, and there was a market there. There was a market there for, you're only getting one side of the story, you're only getting one side of the story. So nature abhors a vacuum. So this dude created Fox News to, like, I'm actually going to try to do something fair and balanced. And now that they've demonized that, you've got Facebook, YouTube, Google, all the mainstream media. It's really, really, they can really swing the polls. They can really affect the way people think. This mm-hmm. podcast and podcasts like it are very important. Thank you for listening, you guys. It is super important. And the more, and it's like the Matrix. It is like the Matrix. The more you pay attention, the more you're like, wow, holy smoke. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was this bad. And there's lies of omission, and look at, I'll just pick one here at random. If you go to your startup page on like Internet Explorer or something, Trump lashes out. It's always some violent, just the choice of words and all that stuff.
Oh, and what they've written about Sarah Sanders since she has decided to step down, it's just disgusting.
Disgusting. It is. We celebrate women. We celebrate diversity.
We celebrate women, except for that horrible woman who did nothing but gaslight America for 3.5 years. No, she didn't.
Except for women we disagree with. I know.
Talk about having a tough job.
Oh, my gosh. Between Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway.
Who do you think Trump should pick for his next press secretary?
I don't know.
I saw Michael J. Knowles asking for it.
Oh, Knowles was being a silly.
He would drive Jim Acosta nuts. It would be beautiful. No, I think it should be somebody like Seb Gorka.
Sebastian Gorka would be great.
Yeah, that deep voice. Da, 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 da.
You know who else would be great?
Who?
Candace Owens.
Oh, that, yeah.
I'm talking like legitimately, like as I'm thinking about it, because like comedically, I want to say Milo Yiannopoulos, right? just for the circus of it all, want Milo to
but
make.
They don't really do. They don't do press briefings anymore.
No, they don't. And has the world ended? Has
no.
And when you go back and look at it, I can't imagine there's any never Trumpers here still listening to the show. But if you go back and look at it, you're going to find out that this. Every day, Trump is taking questions from the press. Just every day, he steps out of the building. He'll have like an impromptu 25-minute press conference. This is going to be one of the most transparent presidencies in the history of our nation. He is. Mm-hmm. It's so stupid. All like the New York Times and George Stephanopoulos and all those people. All you have to do is just treat this guy. He's a New Yorker. Treat him with a modicum of respect, just a little bit of respect, and he will sit down and he will talk till he's blue in the face.
But whoever scheduled him to sit down with George Stephanopoulos should be kicked in the head. Like, well, what were you thinking? Like, I don't care if you go on ABC, right? I mean, I thought Bill Barr did a great job on CBS, right? But you don't go with George Stephanopoulos. Pick a different interviewer.
I don't know. See, and this is what I really, you know, Trump's not afraid of anybody. He's not afraid of anybody.
It's like, not afraid, but I mean, he's just a Clinton hack.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But like, what
the hackiest of the hacks.
What everybody's losing their mind about, if a foreign power had dirt on a political opponent, would you use it? Would you look at it? Yeah. Yeah, I would. And if it was crazy, I'd call the FBI. If it was bad, I'd call the FBI. Like, I as Joe Schmo, just dude walking around on planet Earth, now it might be like against a law, an election thing.
It's not.
But I would, like, I have zero problems with that statement. I have zero problem.
It's not against the law. Look, and I'm so, like, unless you then want to have a conversation with me about what the Clinton campaign and the DNC actually did. Rather, remember, you had a video once. Politicians should stop answering hypothetical questions, or you were going to kill kittens or something.
Or I'm going to kill hypothetical cats.
You people are losing your ever-loving minds over the answer to a hypothetical question, when right over here, we have people who actually did this and paid for it.
The outrage is hilarious. If it wasn't our country, it'd be much, much funnier. But my God. Was it Newt Gingrich? Was it Newt Gingrich who was running for president back in the day? I want to think it was Newt, but somebody asked him a hypothetical question about a hypothetical execution. And Newt's like, it's a hypothetical person, right? And they're like, yeah. And he's, all right, I'll kill him. And then they were like, Newt Gingrich says he's going to kill. Blah, blah, blah. I'll kill a hypothetical person. There's been.
I'm with you, though. Let's start killing hypothetical kittens every time we do this.
Yeah. Yeah. The hypothetical kitten death count rises. Here's what I'm hoping, but I don't think it's going to be the case. There's a great weeping and gnashing of teeth, and everybody's concerned about Trump, and they're still talking impeachment. That one's still, moveon.org is sponsoring, parades and impeach, 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 and this and that. You would hope that after a few more years, people would realize, and I try to do this on stage. I got a bunch of jokes about it, that when people realize that nothing happened, that, like, nothing's happened, like, he attacks the press. He attacks the press. Okay, well, everybody's still publishing. Everybody's still coming out with stories. You'd think that the population of the U.S. would realize, maybe I was being misled. Maybe. I don't think it's going to happen, though. The way, and in a weird way, I have to doff my cap to the media and MSNBC and all of them. They're keeping this thing going. It's outrageous.
Well, they're
it's
keeping
outrageous.
It going, but they're also, like, literally freaking out. I mean, so it,
they've
think
never
about
stopped.
It. No. But in the last week, they're so desperate to control the information that reaches the average voter. They have attacked Facebook. They have attacked Google. They have attacked Twitter. They have attacked YouTube. If you think all of that isn't coordinated, and that Carlos Mazza wasn't just the Huckleberry, you're not looking at the big picture.
Well, you make a very, very, very good point.
They went after Google for making ad revenue. They took all of journalisming's money. No, guys, Google is like your new newspaper boy, but it's a much larger distribution channel. So, yeah, they're going to make money on it.
Well, and now for our tinfoil hat segment. That people of...
I left mine in the kitchen.
High-level people at Google... Google?
Google?
Google worked for the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Oh,
And they were taking meetings with Clinton. They were taking meetings with Obama. And they bragged about how they could sway a small percentage of voters. Mm-hmm. They could do it just through passive, that would appear to be passive means. They could sway the electorate. And that they're getting better at it. And the number will only grow. So you should be friendly to Google because we can help win elections for you.
Oh, but I'm like so excited for more whistleblowers to come out of these companies.
Well, I think it's going to happen.
Pinterest, the guy from Google. I mean, they fired both of them, but the guy who was the Republican that worked at Google and wrote the Medium post, they axed him.
Yeah.
After they axed James Damore.
Hopefully yeah. There'll be more and more of them coming forward. I really do hope so, because it is the Matrix is a perfect metaphor. It's the mm-hmm. perfect metaphor. You're walking around and you think you're well informed. You really believe it. You're smart.
No,
you watch CNN, you watch MSNBC, you watch the news. You're informed mm-hmm. and you realize, "Uh-oh, I am not getting the real story." And this is what I love about the conservative movement, the ideology of libertarians, the right. Here's what I love about it. Good, bad, or indifferent. We just want the truth. That's it.
Did you see one major news story or major station, other than probably Fox, cover the fact that before the ink on the Iran deal was dry, they found like 3,000 pounds of explosives that Hezbollah had stashed in London. They found them in Thailand, and they found them in one other country before the ink was dry on the Iran deal, and it got covered up, and it just broke last week.
I haven't seen anything about it. That is the first I've heard of it.
It's in the Times UK, and then I think it was the Jerusalem Post. So get this. So the UK and the US and France and everybody signed this deal with a country that's an existential threat to Israel, right?
Yeah.
Then the Mossad is the one that tracked all this stuff and informed UK intelligence and everybody else. So they just got screwed over, and they're still watching the backs.
It is... my heart goes out to the people in the UK who went out of the European Union. We just want the truth, you guys. We just want the truth. Don't, and like, you're not doing us any favors by lying to us. You're not, that's the, when you're making a big deal with Iran to keep them from building a nuke. Okay, I like that idea. I don't want Iran to have nukes, but you got to tell us what's really going on.
You got to tell us you paid them. You got to tell us you found bombs in London. You got to tell. I mean, come on.
Yes.
I am willing to bet you.
It's just so insane. It's just so ridiculous.
We are going to find out that Carter Page was not the first FISA, and Glenn Simpson's dossier on Donald Trump was not the first dossier either. All of the same bad actors were involved in smearing Michael Flynn when he was at a conference in 2014. Halper's the one that said he was doinking that girl.
Yeah.
Okay, Halper's also the one that went after Carter Page. I don't believe in coincidences, people, and there's too many coincidences in this for me not to believe 100% that everything the Obama administration started doing in 2014 was tied to protecting the Iran deal, and our allies were in on it. Otherwise, why did we just find out about bombs found in London?
Well, it's too funny, but my sources who are dialed in, mm-hmm. they tell me the whole thing reeks of an intel operation. It all just reeks to high heaven. It's like standard operating procedure.
It didn't start in 2016. This was all to manage the perception of the Iran deal in the United States and in Europe so that they could get the thing through. Because General Flynn was a huge and vocal critic of the Iran deal inside the Obama administration. He's the first one they tried to burn in 2014.
I keep following up on that. I want updates on that as we move forward.
Well, supposedly the 300 people Samantha Powers unmasked, according to Sarah Carter's sources, were all people having conversations with people in Israel.
It's very disconcerting. It's very, very worrisome. It's very, very worrisome. So when I'm worried, and the other night, just when you need some optimism in your life, when you're worried that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, you guys, go to your refrigerator, go to your freezer, and if you have an automatic ice maker, it'll cheer you up. My kids and I were having movie night the other night, and we're hitting the ice maker like it's crazy. We have this little concoction that we drink. It's whatever. It's lemonade and Sprite Zero, whatever. It's fantastic. But we're hitting the ice maker. Every time you go to your ice maker, it's making more ice. When you're asleep, it's making more ice. It's like an endless font of ice technology. It's wonderful. It's the little things in life you got to celebrate. If we can have that kind of goodness in our world, if we can keep our ice makers working, certainly we can conquer the rest of this.
I'm all in with my dishwasher.
Dishwashers are amazing too.
Yeah.
Dishwashers are amazing. The only way they could get better is if they were self-loading.
That would be true.
That would be great. But it's ice makers, dishwashers, and laundry machines are pretty darn fantastic. We live in magical times. Okay, I just want to end on this, and I'm not going to stop, and I'm going to keep telling you why. The LoftusParty.com, this whole movement, it's got to be more than just politics, you guys. Now there's got to be a reason you want to save the planet. We do. I put them on Facebook now. These little, like, I think they're quite sexy. I just love them. Star Wars cosplay pictorials that are just fantastic. I'm just going to go to the lifestyle section here. Oh my gosh, there's this I did this Flag Day one, red, white, and booty that I just thought was great. Now I know you guys you can't like it on Facebook, because someone will trace back and like, he likes sexy girls. I'm not going to stop. I find the Star Wars cosplay to be insanely hot. Side boob is incredibly great. Oh my gosh. I can't speak. There's one about this guy who took his dog across. It's crazy, but it's what I love about the website. This guy took his dog on a trip across Europe. He took pictures. He's got this little border collie. Momo, you got to go and take a look at that. I got a thing for surfer girls. This girl, Laura Crane. Holy smoke. So there's always going to be some hotties. And occasionally I'll do the cute puppy one. And there's always going to be video games. And there's always going to be Hollywood stuff. All of that. But like, I can look at the statistics. And I know that like doom and gloom gets the clicks. I know that like, fear mongering gets the clips and people, and that drives traffic. But I'm not going to stop with the hotties. I can't. I'm not going to stop with the video games. I can't. I'm not going to stop with the pop culture stuff. It's what makes life worth living. These people get so wrapped up in politics. You're like, that's all you are. What happens when everything gets solved? What are you going to do when everything gets solved? So ask yourself that question this week. Like, what are you saving? What are you excited about? What literally puts some lead in your pencil? What? I like video games. You know what I'm going to do later today? I'm going to play Minecraft with my kids for at least 2 hours. And it's going to be awesome. So there you have it. We're going to save the United States of America. We're going to reinvent the conservative movement. And we're not going to be ashamed of liking the things we like. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's slot car racing. I don't care. Whatever you're into, get on the website and share it. new music, whatever you have. We're going to save this country, and we're going to make it worth saving by bragging about the stuff we like. Have a great Father's Day. I hope you had a great one. Have a great rest of your week. We got new videos coming out. Make sure you go to firearmguards.com. Get yourself something to keep your ammo dry. Keep checking back on the YouTube page. Keep checking back on the Facebook page. Thanks for sharing. Thanks to all our Patreons. We do have a plan. The plan is working. 500,000 people. 500,000 last week. Have a great time, you guys. I'll speak to you next Sunday.